Going to sing is Jesus Be the Center, and I think this is really appropriate as we think about grounding our lives in God and Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Well, we continue the Grounded in Christ Chapel series. It started way back with the Campus Ministries team in either August or September, maybe September. You might remember Professor Michelle Hirschberger here from Heston College introducing the theme and also expanding it into a workshop on Anabaptist distinctives. Sunitha Millsaps, pastor from Chicago, who further developed this theme, Grounded in Christ, around the Ephesians passage. In an indirect way, the Jubilee Network and Shane Claiborne launched us. They were here the week before Michelle Hirschberger. And then we put this series on hold a while as we delved into the sexuality series. But we didn't forget about it. Linford's been in the lineup for the Grounded in Christ series all along. Our only EMU professor this semester who's helping us to develop this theme. And the title of the chapel from him, or his talk, Finding Your Footing in a Shaky World. When the ground isn't so grounded, it sounds like. Linford's a long time, I said forever, forever is 25 years, by the way, professor of culture and mission here at EMU, also the director of the Kauffman Center at the seminary, and adjunct faculty there as well. He and Janet, who is here, I saw you now, okay, I was blinded there for a minute, saw you, Janet. The two of you have led the Middle East Cross-Cultural for 12 years, and in January you'll launch on your 13th adventure with students. How many students who are going on that cross-cultural are here today? Raise your hand if you're here. Some of you are a little shy about it. No, it's exciting, really exciting. We're glad that you're helping us to develop this theme. And as we've welcomed others with a warm applause, let's do the same for Linford to show appreciation.
Thank you. Just want to make sure this is not shaky. I don't want to collapse up here and like do a reverse, you know, model of what you're not supposed to do in life. Okay, find your footing in a shaky world. The font's almost too small for me to read back there. But we have some options as we live, standing, climbing to the top, or moving forward toward the kingdom. Those three options. And so we're going to talk. Standing and building is sort of the longest historical kind of human activity that we know there's nomads, but the first story of building is very early in Genesis, and it's a story of Babel, huge structure to enable people to stay together, keep themselves safe, reach God, make a name for themselves. And that has never quite left us. In fact, the earliest structure, the human structure that they have discovered so far is in Turkey, in eastern Turkey, where ISIS is running around, called Göbekli Tepe. You've probably never heard of that, but it is 9,500 years before Christ built that long before Christ. It's an amazing structure, and it's mostly stones. You can see a stone there, and it's standing. It's kind of a man. You see the hand down there. And if you take a step back and look at the structure, it's all standing stones. They're just all over the place. Stones, standing stones. For some reason, people wanted to stand, to build something that's durable and immovable, stable. Probably kind of like they wanted to be in a kind of a shaky and dangerous world. These are nomads that built this thing. And so you have standing stones, stones, standing stones everywhere. Standing stones were very popular with nomads, I said. And 6,500 years before Stonehenge, which is also standing stones. So we got a lot of standing stones. And there's more standing stones. And these are erected about 5,100 years before the musical Hamilton. Isn't that amazing? Now playing in New York. And one of the lines, the famous line that Alexander Hamilton actually said, was something like this. If you stand for nothing, Burr, you'll fall. What'll you fall for? Alexander Hamilton said something like, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And so that's incorporated in the play. And then some of us learn songs in Sunday school like, I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And some of us maybe even learned, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. So standing is pretty important. In fact, current standing in solidarity with the pipeline thing in North Dakota is very attractive to do, and for very good reasons. I'm not in any way opposed to it, but the standing part is very significant. Standing with those at Standing Rock. So we've come like 10,000 years of human history back to standing. So standing is very important. Standing Rock, standing people on, for, or against are as old as human history. And we all need to stand on something solid in order to have some sort of foundation to build our lives in a shaky, turbulent, uncertain, dangerous even world, unpredictable. How do we do it? At least that's what we think we need to do. And the question is, do we really need something to stand on? Okay, let's look at the oldest, most durable foundation and structures ever laid with human hands, and you probably know what that is already, but it is the pyramids of Egypt. The pyramids of Egypt are actually all along the Nile, and there's something like 97 existing pyramids in Egypt, and the most famous one, of course, and the biggest are near Cairo, right outside of Cairo, the ones that the tourists always take, and EMU students always take the pictures in front of. The Great Pyramid was built about 2,650 BC. And just for fun, does anybody know who built it? This is a little test from last time. Well, probably not. We don't even know the name of the guy who built this, the biggest, most, or who had it built. He didn't actually work. Foundation of this one covers 13.6 acres. That is like massive. It's hugely impressive. Its height is 480 feet tall. That's kind of interesting. Making it the highest human structure in the world for almost 5,000 years. That's pretty impressive to do that. In fact, the next one that was built higher than the pyramid was built in 1300 Common Era or AD. And it was a cathedral. In fact, all of the world's highest buildings, higher than the pyramid, before 1900, were cathedrals. Okay, this is like a seminar on architecture. Okay. There are 2.3 million stones in this pyramid, and they weigh an average of 3 tons each. So you can calculate that out, some way up to 15 tons. So we got almost 7 million tons of stone in the pyramid. And you go inside, and you think about that when you're in it, 7 million tons. Lined up end to end, these stones would reach from where we're sitting to the Space Needle in Seattle. Isn't that, that's what this is, well, actually, it's not relevant at all. That's just trivia. But it does show the incredible capacity and desire for humans to build a safe and stable empire in a dangerous and unpredictable world. And that has not left us. We're still in that situation, just like us. Pharaohs die, just like us. The pharaohs, the pyramids are graves of dead pharaohs and powerful people who lose their power the minute they die. The pharaoh's name was Cheops or Khufu. Right, Matthew? Matthew's our Egyptologist here. He lived in Egypt for a number of years. They were built by massive crews of up to 100,000 workers who volunteered to work, mostly. A few slaves, mostly volunteers. People like us. Why would anyone volunteer to be a slave? And that's what we're going to look at. EMU Cross Cultures to the Middle East begin at the pyramids, very first day. in Egypt and end in Rome and return to the USA like the people of faith in Scripture from beginning to end, we travel from, to, and through empires shaped like pyramids. If you take the shape of the empire, all empires are shaped something like this. They look like a pyramid. So we're going to look at empire. Through the promise of rewards from the top and the threat of punishment from the top, society is shaped by collective desire to amass wealth and power, live securely, protect one's people, exploit others, and be remembered. That's what empire is all about. It has never changed. We live in that situation ourselves. If you don't believe that, listen to the rhetoric of the last election round and the promises made. It was all this. So, in short, successful empires promise those who cooperate more of everything they want, or abundance in life, things, hopes, dreams. People who believe become voluntary slaves of hope. Now, I should go back to why did the people volunteer on the pyramids? It's because they were told, well, they were given enough to eat and a place to live, all these 100,000 peasants, and the promise that they would experience the afterlife along with the Pharaoh if they helped build the pyramid. Whoa. So they voluntarily did that. What are the historical choices then for the majority of people who live in any empire? One is you can cooperate, you can believe the promises made by the Pharaoh or the president or the CEO and cooperate and reap the benefits. Or you can rebel. You can say, this is wrong, this is evil, this is not for me. But both of those are oriented toward the top. Both of those want to replace or join the top and make the world a better place. Not all wrong, but that's the way it works. Promises abundance in life that ends in death. That's the limitation, just like in the pyramids. Jesus calls his followers in an alternative direction toward the kingdom and promises life in abundance. He promises life in abundance that ends in life. What an amazing contrast. So we're going to look at that for 3 minutes. That is the direction Jesus calls us. We can seek to stand our ground and build a life like the people who can predict and evaluate the options and make the most of it, exploit the opportunities, climb the ladders, end up at the top with abundance of everything we hope for. We can try to do that, and some of us will actually succeed. It's an option. Most of us will not get near the top. We'll never be in the top 1%. Only like, we're already fairly close to the top, but we'll never make it to the top. Others will recognize the flaws of this system and fight against it and work to undermine it. You can be a Republican and a Democrat and do both of those, depending on where you're at. You can demonize each side and try to get that there yourself. That is not the way Jesus calls us to live. To believe the promises that are actually limited, flawed, and will ultimately fail, we have to live in the system, and we can cooperate, and we can rebel. Those are options to do, but not because we believe in the system, that it will save us, that it's the kingdom. The kingdom is radically different. It is a third way that intersects with both the, with both the good and the evil. It participates sometimes in resisting and cooperating, but it's never captive to either one of those options. So, I'd like to leave us with this image that Jesus calls us to walk together toward the kingdom, to live out not the small and religious pyramids like everything else, but a fundamentally different direction that shapes us because we believe the promises of Jesus rather than the promises of the powerful. Whether that's Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, it doesn't matter. These promises are always flawed, partial, and cannot quite deliver for everybody what they promise. Jesus calls his followers to be shaped by the vision of the kingdom and to move forward. Rather than static, it's dynamic. So I would like Paul himself, who wrote the letter to the Ephesians, was on, he participated in both the red and the green line. He was on his way to the top when he met Jesus, and it fundamentally changed his course in life. And his life became shaped by that vision of Jesus that he saw on the road to Damascus and never left. I would like to leave you with the prayer that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, who were living in the empire, the Roman Empire, faithfully following Jesus. And he tells them, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." You may go in peace with that vision. And after Brian has messaged you.
Thank you, Linford. Thank you so much. Looking forward to sending you and the Janet and the group in January for more on-site engagement. We have a couple things coming this week. I wanted to be sure that you knew about these things. YServe is hosting Christmas caroling Thursday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Check the web events calendar. Details are there. It's at VMRC, but we meet on campus. So Christmas caroling Thursday, 4:30 to 6. And we'd love to have 20 or 30 people join us. Also on Friday here in chapel, we have Reflections on Ministry, and Christina Hershey, she's here, and Adrian Durstein, are you here? They are bringing reflections from their summer ministry inquiry program, and there'll be an opening song from Emulate, and we invite everyone back and more. Looking forward to continuing our reflections together. And now, go in peace.